Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, part two, a memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service where we deal with a whole lot, cover a whole lot of ground. But it is to benefit the families that are hurting because of the death of loved ones from the coronavirus plague, to help them. It is also for not only recognizing and remembering the dead, and praying for those families that have lost family members, but it's for the living. We're standing between the living and the dead. First and foremost, if you're living, you need to get your soul ready. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ before you die. And by the end of December, you think 200,000 is a lot. It may reach up to 500,000, according to the official count, is already there as far as our count is concerned, but or even more. So, and you might be in that number. And you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask Him to save your soul while you can. And then it is for the living, those who name the name of Christ. Many of you are finding that your family life and your church life and your Christian life is not as strong as you thought it was. And one of the reasons why is because you have not been praying. You have been playing, in the words of Leonard Ravenhill, and you know it. You don't pray. You don't pray with your family. You don't pray for your children. You don't pray together. You don't read the Bible together. You used to, but you don't do it anymore. And so I'm here to remind you that you need to get back to that. Otherwise, you're going to be gone with the wind and your family. You're not going to make it if you don't get right with God and get back to prayer and to reading God's word together. You can survive this plague, but you've got to do these things for real. You've got to humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, repent, and get back to Jesus Christ, your first love. And one of the ways to get back in a hurry is to start praying in the morning again and reading the Word of God again, preferably with your family, but if you're by yourself, with yourself. And we have invited those who are single to join us in the morning, because you're going to need all of the help you can get, male and female, because this is an area that the devil fights, as you well know. And you know that because you stopped doing it yourselves in your family many years ago. So, in keeping with our emphasis on prayer, reading the Bible, and devotions, Dr. Chip Ingram said, "The ancient path of communion with God is knowing what He's really like. And prayer is simply keeping company with God. And so you need to practice genuine prayer unto the Lord." Let's pray together for families and single people, for they are a family unto themselves, and they have extended family. And we have many, many thousands of single people today probably more than what we should have, because there are many people in the church who are single, divorced, and separated and so forth, who are committing fornication and adultery in the church. And unless we repent of all of that foolishness, this plague is going to get worse, and it's going to last much longer than what you think. So, but it's up to you. But if you think you can get away with adultery, fornication, homosexuality, having sex with yourself, masturbation, and other ungodly, unclean things, because normally you say, well, preacher, I never heard that masturbation was wrong. I heard about a pastor doing it and this, that, and the other. Yeah, well, but the problem is, in most cases, you got to think about something that you ought not to be thinking about to do that. Or you have to be looking at something that you should not be looking at to get all of that going. So you need to stop it and get married. God never made you to have sex with yourself. You're committing fornication with yourself. That's what you're doing. And you should get married. And there are pastors available, your pastors available, to marry you over the iPhone. That's how powerful the tools that God has wrought through iPhones and pads and computers. It's a powerful thing. It will be just as real if you were there in the church. And I know you're waiting for a big wedding and all that. Here's what you need to do. Those of you who are waiting for your big wedding, hoping that this plague pandemic is going to go away, I'm telling people, Bill Gates is saying, we're not going to be through with this plague. He said the vaccine may help a little bit next year, but this plague is going to be with us until 2022. That's what Bill Gates said. I'm saying it's going to be much longer, because the church is not willing to repent of sanctioning homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and the homosexual agenda. They're not willing to tell the president that he needs to overturn everything Obama and Biden did, everything Obama and Biden did to sanction homosexuality, and everything he's done. And if we're not willing to do that, anybody who has any spiritual sense whatsoever knows God is not going to take this pressure off. God is not pleased. If he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, buddy, and Lot never married anybody, any homosexuals. They never even thought about the homosexuals. They didn't even think about no such foolishness. Marrying homosexuals, getting married. No. All that needs to go back in the dark, hellacious closet it came from. And if we don't put it back in the hellacious closet it came from, this plague is not going to end, people. It's going to get worse, and it's going to last for a long time. The official number, over 200,000, that ought to shock the daylights out of anybody in the so-called greatest country in America, in the world, called America. And we're the only one. We're the leading country, because we're the most wicked, and we're the exporters of the most wicked things. The way America goes, as you well know, anybody who's traveled around the world, like I have, the way America goes, the world goes. We have huge influence over the entire world through our media and everything else, in Hollywood and everything else. And there are people who around the world who are suffering, who think America is heaven, and is not. So let's pray. And that's what we need to do. But we need to also humble ourselves and seek God's face, pardon me, and turn from our wicked ways. Holy Father God, help us to indeed do that. Lord, at this point, prayer is not enough, because you have given us the prescription. You want us to humble ourselves. We have not done that. You want us to pray. We're halfway doing that. You want us to seek your face, which is connected to getting back to you, Lord Jesus, your first love. We are not doing that. And you want us to turn from our wicked ways. In this verse, you actually gave us the definition of repentance. You want us to turn away from our adulteries, our fornications, our lusts, our pornography watching, our lying, our dishonesty, our deceit, our living a lie, our divorce and remarriage, which is living in adultery, quite different from committing adultery, living in adultery. People who are living in adultery can find no place of repentance, because the only way to repent is to get out of that adulterous relationship and stay single without sex, or get married to, again, to your former partner, as you have arranged it, as you have stated it. And folks are not doing that. You want us to turn from our wicked ways, bad attitudes, hatred, racism, prejudice, bitterness, murder, killing, incest, and swinging, Christian couples swinging with pastors and pastors' wives, swinging with each other in the church, thinking that is somehow all right, calling evil good and good evil. Ashley Madison and everything else, you want us to repent of all of this evil. And Lord, you know people don't want to hear this, even in the church. And Lord, you know, I know that people don't want to hear this. And so, Lord, you know that I'm not a popular preacher, but that's okay. And not only that, homosexuality in the church, not only sanctioning homosexuality, but homosexuals themselves in the pulpit. God have mercy and grace upon a wicked and evil church, and some who have never been born again and who are not a part of the church. They are the terrorists in the church, the wheat and the tares. But they're in there, and they have tainted others and infected others with ungodliness. And little by little, slowly but surely, Lord, you're revealing the evil in the church. You're bringing it out front for everybody to see. Saved people and lost people. For some didn't believe it was true. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help us to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. And help us to do as the lady sung so many years ago when I was a youngster. It's got to be real. And so we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to make it real and no more of the phony foolishness that we've been doing for so long. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of lost people in every family that names the name of Christ. Cast out the devil and the demons of hell of every family that names the name of Christ. And Lord, heal every family that names the name of Christ. Help, Lord, them to pray together, obey together, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, and stay together. We pray for the salvation of all families that don't know you as Savior. We pray for hundreds and thousands of families, Lord, grant household salvation. Lord, hear and answer my prayer. This does not benefit me at all. And you're the one praying it through me, because you're more concerned about these souls than I'll ever be. Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears before it is eternally too late. Lord, I earnestly pray that just through my prayers that hundreds and thousands of families will be granted household salvation, where everybody in the family gets saved. I believe it. And you said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Help them to hear the gospel, Lord, even if they can, if they have to hear it from me, little old me, Lord, on the internets, in some way, shape, form, or fashion. For you have given us the grace and the ability for years to get the gospel out in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different ways each day. And Lord, we pray that somehow they'll hear the gospel and come to know you as Savior. Lord, help them to understand the gospel, to see the gospel, to see clearly how that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Help them to believe in Christ. Help them to do what you said, Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then, Lord God in heaven, forgive us of our sins. For those of us who name the name of Christ and claim to be Christians. And Lord, I hate to say it like that, but Lord, you won't let me say it any other kind of way because of the evil foolishness going on in the church today. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins of not obeying your great commandment or your great commission. We don't love the people and we don't care for the people's souls as we should. We're doing everything else in the church except rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying. God help us. And then, Lord, we pray that if you can't use us, please use somebody else. Raise up laborers into your field. Lord, across this country and around the globe, real Christians, real born-again ones who have a fired-up burden for lost souls, as we, some of us, used to have. Lord, I pray that they would reap the whited harvest before it is eternally too late. Lord, who knows? You're probably shaking up the church right now to get us back to our main purpose, prayer and witnessing to the lost at any cost, telling them about the Jesus who saves. Lord, we pray that you would do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on down to Ephesians. We're still in Ephesians. We're doing something differently this week. And we're expounding upon verses 22, 23, and 24, utilizing Dr. John R. Rice's fine work and commentary on this passage. I know some of you folks don't like it. But you need it. Let's see. Back in the day, if you were under the loving authority of my great-great-grandmother, who was blind, Mother Breedlove, if this plague came through, the first thing she would give you is some castor's oil. That's all you're going to get. Yes, sir, buddy. That's it. That was the medicine for black folks back in the day. Castor's oil. There was one other little thing with a fisherman on the bottle. Can anybody tell me what that, the name of that stuff was? My wife is, she's looking like she remembers. What is it? Say it again? No. It was something else. Kind of whitish in color in a brown bottle. Every now and then they'll give you that too. Had a man with a big old fish in his hand. I remember that. I can't remember the name of that. They had their remedies. Now, I'm going to tell you something else too. They would go out and get some roots, some sarsaparilla root, and put it in a tea. Yes, sir. That's pretty much all you got. That's pretty much all you got. Now, we couldn't afford honey, but you had some white sugar to put in there. But castor oil was the main thing. That was the medicine, the cure-all for everything. And castor oil does not taste good. It makes you want to, when you swallow it, it makes you want to throw up. It doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. Because after Brother Breedlove prayed over it, that was it. Whatever you had, whooping cough, flu, whatever, it went away under the authority of Mother Breedlove. And when I say authority, I mean, see, the great grandmothers back in those days and the grandmothers, they had authority, Jack. They walked around like they knew God. And they would pray, and they always had, I don't know how to pronounce it, Pompeian oil. They always had that little triangle oil. They always had that in the house, that little triangle bottle. And buddy, that slapped that on you in a heartbeat back in the day. We didn't go to the doctor. Do you hear me? We did not go to the doctor. We couldn't go to the doctor. There was not even a doctor in our neighborhood. Ear infection, man, they'd drop some olive oil down your ears. Yes, they would. My point is, castor oil, they'd drop some castor oil down your ears if you had an ear infection. My point is, castor oil does not taste good at all. We hated it. Automatically, the face just went up into an ugly grimace. Like, oh my, so what is this? But it's good for you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, and 24. After I preached yesterday twice, I had to deal with this issue twice yesterday. My wife said the messages were good. They were great. She said they were great. Now, I know she doesn't like it, but she said they were great. And I said, why? I said, okay, why do you think they're great? She said, that's what the Word of God says. So she's grown quite a bit over the years, and that's good. But it doesn't matter whether she thinks it's great or not. It is great because it's right. And I'm trying to help you save your marriage. Not only save your marriage and your family from the devil, I want you to enjoy your marriage and family. Only the men and women who fulfill their roles that God made them for in their marriage enjoy their marriage and their family, including the women. RBG told young ladies, you can't have it all, but you might not be able to have it all at one time. I believe that if you follow God, you can have it all at the same time. Ladies, some of you ladies are doing too much. First of all, if I wouldn't marry a man who could not take care of me 100% and himself and the children and the house and pay all the bills. Anything I do, that's extra. That, you know, I can help out with some things, but that's not, cannot be mandatory. You cannot be depending on my salary or what I'm making or what kind of business I have on the side. That's all my money for me and my children. That's what I see. You're doing too much. That's why you can't enjoy yourself. You trying to be the man and everything else. If I was a woman and I married a man, he would have to be able to take care of me, the house, the cars, everything, and not look to me to pay anything. Because I'm sacrificing a whole lot for my husband and my children. And I'm willing to do it. But I mean, see, what happens is when you're trying to be the man and you're the breadwinner, and you got a husband, and you got to pump him up and get him going, and then you got to go to work, and you got all that stress and responsibility on you. See, this is one of the reasons why God wants a truly God-called preacher to be full-time. He can't, listen to me. We thank God for the bivocational preachers, but I'm here to tell you, if you're going to truly serve God and preach the gospel, man, it's very hard. And pastor the church and be leading people and trying to help people, it's too much. You see, there are two professions, if you will, or ministries, that the work is never done. The pastor and the wife and the mother. The work is never done in the ministry. Never. There's always somebody else to reach and help. The work is never done for the wife and the mother. And that's all right. That's the calling that God has placed upon those individuals. It's okay. And as I was saying yesterday, wives and mothers, they're wired to be loving and nurturing and helping and making sure everybody's all right, sewing and cleaning and making, fixing the food, making sure everybody's taken care of. See, even back in my day, back in the day when I was growing up, the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers and even my mother, when she did cook a big meal, she did the same thing her mother did and her grandmother did. My great-grandmother and my grandmother. They would work and slave, and they didn't have air conditioning back in those days. They couldn't afford it. They might have a fan blowing out of the window. And they slaved in that kitchen, but they cooked some of the greatest food known to mankind. Real fried chicken with Crisco grease, I mean lard. Lord, make you want what? Collard greens for real. Food that'll make your tongue slap your brain out of your head. And then they would stand at the counter, wouldn't sit down and eat. They had too much class. They would stand at the counter and nibble. And they got their joy. Guess where they got their joy from? They got their joy from seeing their husband and the men and the boys especially eat. And the girls too, but especially the males. And they love, and they got their reward from what? The great reward of compliments from the table. People smacking their lips at the wonderful greasy chicken and collard greens and potato salad for real, homemade, and not bought from Walmart. That can't touch, what? What are you talking about? That can't touch the real potato salad. You haven't had any potato salad, son. You haven't had any fried chicken. Churches can't touch it. KFC can't touch it. What? KFC were for trips only. I'm talking real fried chicken, Jack. And they wouldn't even eat any, Holly. They would stand over there by the oven and nibble on a little saucer. Because they got their reward from serving their husband and others and the children. They got their blessing from that. It was reward enough for that husband to grab back and say, "Honey, I tell you the truth, you put your foot in this right in front of everybody else." And everybody else, "Mm-hmm, amen, amen, amen." And they cleaning their plates. What? What? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives. That word to let allows for the free action of your wills. It's up to you. You don't have to do it, but you should. You ought to. It'll be better for you if you did. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Say, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, it's very simple. Don't get married. And don't get married if you're not going to do this, because it's going to be required of you to do this inside the marriage at some point. You can go in with your little fake vows all you want to. It means nothing. If they don't line up with the scriptures, it means nothing. You can try to mold marriage to what you want it to be, but it's going to end up messed up, because God is the maker of marriage, not you. And He sets the rules. You say, well, preacher, you don't think people are going to do what you're telling? No, I don't. But it's my job to tell. So I get my satisfaction out of telling you. I don't get my satisfaction at waiting on you to do it. I get my joy and my blessing for telling you what God told me to tell you. I know this is not popular. And you, I'm sure, would not want to invite me to your church, and I don't want to come to your church. You said, preacher, we'll give you a good love offering. I don't give a flip about the love offering. If I almost have to have a heart attack to preach to your backslidden selves. And as Vance Havner said, I would have to backslide in most churches to get into fellowship. And I'm not willing to do that. Dr. John R. Rice continues, a study of the Holy Scriptures will reveal the companionship of Abraham and Sarah as about the most ideal and happy in the entire Bible. No other woman ever came between them. They never differed over their children. There was something that Abraham did that Sarah got him to do that was a problem. Whenever you violate God's word, it's a problem. In the marriage, for real and for sure. You don't do it God's way, it's going to get messed up. That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't matter what you want to make marriage to be. Eventually, that's going to fall apart because it is not the marriage that God wants. They were sweethearts until death, though. There's no doubt about that. Happy is the woman who feels toward her husband as Sarah did toward hers, and who can obey him with happy reverence. Who chooses to do that? See, one of the problems that we have in the Christian life is we don't understand. We think that we're just going to just have an easy go at it. And just the Lord's just going to make us do things like we're a robot. That's not the case. God will help you, but God does want your will involved. He wants you to choose to obey Him, because that's real love coming back from you. Yes, there's some things in life, my beloved, that husband, you just got to do. You got to suck it up and do it. Your wife may not be what she should be, and you still have to love her if you want the marriage to work and stay together for the glory of God. Because let me just tell you now, let me help you. There are huge benefits that come from your marriage working and staying together for the husband and for the wife and for the children. Astronomical. Some of you people don't stay married long enough to find out what they are. But there are huge benefits. Don't believe the American marriage way. Believe the Bible marriage way. Look at the American marriage way is all shot to hell. With emphasis on divorce and separation and how the children are so resilient and other garbage. No, they're not as resilient as you think. You're going to lose your children. Your child might get molested by some other joker who's now with your wife. And then you got to take care of some other people's children, some other man's children. Because you're involved with somebody else that's not your wife. You're involved with somebody else's wife. And that's all a stinking mess. It's a mess. Dr. Rice goes on to say, if you, Mrs. Modern Wife, cannot feel so toward your man, then do not be surprised if you never have the love and fellowship which Sarah had with Abraham. Don't be surprised now. He should still love you. His love should not be contingent upon your behavior and your attitude and your foolishness. But more than likely, it's not going to be what you want it to be. That Sarah had with Abraham, and the respect and reverence of your children, which Sarah had from Isaac. Do you have the love and respect from your children that you want to have? Or they really don't want to have anything to do with you because they see you as a manipulating witch who manipulated their father, their home life, them, and they saw you lie and cheat and be dishonest and rebel and talk back to your husband. And so now they're grown and they're talking back to you. Some are not even grown yet, they're talking back to you. Why? Because you're reaping what you have sown. You have not respected your head and your authority, and your children are not respecting you, and you can't stand it. And guess who you want to help get your children under control? Your husband. Even after you have separated from him and divorced him. Now you want him to help you with those teenage daughters who hate you for running their father off. And they see you as a manipulating Jezebel who ran their loving father off. And he's with another woman now, and he has other daughters and sons, and he does not spend any time with you all anymore or with the children anymore worth anything. And that, and you're responsible. Not the father in most cases. You're responsible for breaking their hearts. And in some cases, the father is too. For letting you have your way to do that. Letting you have your way to destroy your family. And that's what some of you husbands have done. You have let your wife tear down the family so bad, you have broken the hearts of your children by letting her have her way. And look at the mess. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, tomorrow we will hear the word of God on the husbands and see what Dr. John R. Rice says to the husbands as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's time to do the hard work of prayer. And let's pray just like that passage says, for everybody. Let's start with those who name the name of Christ, those who claim to be Christians, and their families. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help everybody under the sound of my voice to do the hard work of prayer. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ to truly be that and to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, and to obey your commandments, for you have made it very clear to us. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You have made it very clear to us that if you love me, keep my commandments. And your commandments are not grievous. So have mercy, Lord God in heaven, continued mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our many sins. As we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, help us to truly repent of our evil ways. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, because Lord God in heaven, as you know, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it without your help. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for everybody in the government. Lord, I do pray for the salvation of President Donald J. Trump. I pray that you would save his soul and change his life. Save Pence as well. Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls, and help them to see you. Help them to see your holy word. Lord, turn their wicked hearts and help them to do your will and not theirs. And we pray for everybody in the administration in the same way, everybody in the cabinet in the same way. And Holy Father God, help them to do that which is right in your sight. Lord, help them to realize that this plague can end without a vaccine if they would overturn 100%, or at least try, the evil that has been done, the abominations that have been done in the previous administration and in this one, to sanction the abomination of homosexuality and to quit their own sins as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision, financial and material blessings upon all of these people, including all of our governors, all of our mayors, all of our police chiefs and sheriffs, and all of the state senators and representatives, and everybody serving in government and in authority. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray these same blessings, Lord, upon every prime minister, the prime minister of England, every president, every potentate, every premier, every leader in every part of the world, and their government. Turn their wicked, evil hearts towards you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk by faith and not by sight. I also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of betrayal out of the hearts and minds and lives of these people. All of these government leaders, all of these so-called church leaders, and Lord, family leaders as well. Lord God in heaven, we pray for the salvation of all lost souls in this country and around the globe and in the media as well. We pray for the revival of all true Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media. Lord, help your remnant and your 7,000 faithful to stand strong and never bow the knee to Baal. Or to political correctness. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the Christians that are being persecuted in America, in China, in Iran, in Nigeria, in the Sudan, in the Philippines, and around the world. Lord, you know exactly where they are. Comfort them as only you can. Deliver them from their predicaments. Give them grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. Let your will be done. And Lord, help us to prepare for our day of persecution as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of everybody who is sick, of those who name the name of Christ. Help them to call for their pastor to pray for them over the phone, but help them to confess and to divulge and to be transparent about their sins, their faults, and their failures, so that they can be healed and raised up. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing, the salvation, and the healing of those, Lord, who are lost. And Holy Father God, we pray for the millions of family members who are hurting, who are still in shock over the sudden death of their loved ones. Hundreds of years have been wiped off the lives of thousands who would be here with us today if it were not for the coronavirus plague, which is getting worse. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would comfort these people as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort by the power of your Holy Ghost as you see fit, because we have no power and we have no words in a situation like this. All we can do is pray for these people, and you're the only somebody who can help them in their darkest hours and in the dark and black night, when they used to have a body, warm body laying beside them, is gone. And that in itself is frightening. And so, Lord, comfort these people and save their souls and give them that peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable. And Holy Father God, we pray for some by name. We pray for millions of others as well in this prayer, as we pray for the family and friends of Nevada Professor Felicia Campbell. We pray for the family and friends of Georgia Legal Secretary Marcia Sasser. We pray for the family and friends of Mexican actress Cecilia Romo. We pray for the family and friends of Indian journalist Nilanshu Shukla. We pray for the family and friends of South African official Connie Oxmalo. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania resident Angela Russell. We pray for the family and friends of California baseball player Tom Seaver, one of my favorite pictures of all time. I knew he died, but I didn't know he died of the coronavirus plague. One of my boyhood heroes, Tom Seaver. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Georgia teacher Betty J. McBride. We pray for the family and friends of New York manufacturer George Wolf. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona football player James Robbins. and many, many more. We commit these souls into your hands, and let your will be done in their lives and in our lives as well. Grant us your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray for others and to keep on praying. We pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. And we have some new prayer requests here today. And as we're only praying for 7 people by name, we pray for all of the others who have sent in prayer requests as well. Hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, blessings upon all of these people on this list. And including these people, Peggy, please protect David from all ungodly relationships and save Dylan, Andy, Oliver, David, Sebastian, Spencer, Marco, and Riven. We pray for Vicky. Please heal her body completely. Bless her brother, Bill, in a supernatural way. We pray for James. Please bless him with Bibles for the new converts. We pray for Patrick, for his niece and nephew to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and find healing, peace, joy, and purpose in you. We pray for Kay. Please answer her prayers and have your will to be done in her life. We pray for Alan. Please strengthen the bond between him and his girlfriend. Help them to get married. Protect them all from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Tiffany. Please bless her husband, Emmanuel, in his work at St. Jude, and help him to keep his job. Please save Janice and Susan and help them to be nicer and fair to everyone, and bless her and her family with good health and save all of them. We pray, Lord, for Coral. Please bless them with a good reply from the Canadian High Commission, New Delhi, and approve their application so they can move from India to Canada. Let your will be done in their lives. We pray for Jayothi. Please heal her of her tumor without having to get an operation, and please protect her unborn baby. Please give her and her baby complete healing and good health, and we pray that you protect the entire family from the coronavirus plague. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry and through the hearing of the gospel. Brian recently, Rhett, Seal, Rihanna, Felix, Godfrey, and Bola, and Penny. And we commit these souls into your hands, and we pray for all of the others, as we're only praying for 7. We pray for all of the other people who have heard the gospel through this ministry and who have believed on Christ. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. And Lord, we pray for those who have rededicated their lives to you, even though, Lord, I don't give that invitation. We thank you for the many who have heard the gospel even, and who have heard your holy word and came under conviction and wanted to come back from their backslidden state. And Lord, we pray for them that they will stay faithful and never go back to a backslidden state. We pray for Raul. We pray for Sase. We pray for Lorraine. We pray for Rita. We pray for Brooke. We pray for Kazia. And we pray for Bryce. And we commit all of these souls into your hands, as well as our souls. Please let your will be done in all of our lives, and help us all to grow in the faith and to become strong, faithful servants of yours until the day we die or until the rapture. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading is titled Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 4. from the Purpose Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to share, compared with other centuries, life has never been easier for much of the Western world. We are constantly entertained, amused, and catered to with all of the fascinating attractions, mesmerizing media, and enjoyable experiences available today. It's easy to forget that the pursuit of happiness is not what life is about. That's an American thing, by the way. That's not a biblical thing. Only as we remember that life is a test, a trust, and a temporary assignment will the appeal of these things lose their grip on our lives. We are preparing for something even better. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. The fact that Earth is not our ultimate home explains why, as followers of Jesus, we experience difficulty, sorrow, and rejection in this world. It also explains why some of God's promises seem unfulfilled, some prayers seem unanswered, and some circumstances seem unfair. This is not the end of the story, and you need to remember that. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I praise you, and I trust that we all would praise you and thank you for this wonderful time together. And thank you for what our ears have heard, what we have participated in, that is praying for others, what our hearts have felt, and what our minds have contemplated. Help us to remember it throughout this day and have this time to serve as a springboard and a foundation for us to pray without ceasing and to meditate on your holy word throughout this day. Now, Holy Father God, we pray that by the power of your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that everybody under the sound of my voice who is not saved, that they will get saved like Brian did a couple of days ago, a day or so ago. And we pray that you would open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin in this life and from the punishment of sin in the life to come in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, and so have I. We all have, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from Joel Osteen on down. We all have sinned against God. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have messed up. Actually, we're all criminals because we have broken God's Ten Commandments. You say, preacher, I've never broken God's Ten Commandments. Well, let me help you. Have you ever told a lie before? And telling a lie is also when you don't say anything, when you ask a question and you know the answer, you know the true answer, but the true answer will get you into trouble, and then you somehow don't say anything, that's still lying. covering up things that you should tell and divulge on your own is a lie. You're living a lie. Lying takes many shapes and forms, dear friends. It's not cut and dry. Second, accept, I think I got everybody on that one, but let me help you a little bit more. How about, have you ever stolen anything? Regardless of the value, I don't care if it was a dime from your father, from your father's drawer. I don't care if it was a cookie out of the cookie jar. Have you ever stolen anything? You have already broken God's law by those two sins right there. Well, let me help you further. Have you ever lusted in your heart and in your mind after a person or a thing? Have you ever had a bad attitude towards your parents? Have you ever dishonored your parents, disrespected your parents, disobeyed your parents? You're guilty. You're a criminal before God Almighty. Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? That's just 5 of the 10 commandments. Most of us have broken them, if not all of us, depending on your age. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that if you break it at one point, you broke all of it, all of the 10 commandments in God's sight. So we are guilty of sin in God's sight. We are criminals, and we deserve to go to hell. I want you to understand that. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." In other words, the paycheck that you're going to get at the end of your life because of your sins is death. Your body will go to a grave. Can you imagine that? Living before the sun, living on this earth, walking and breathing and talking and eating Chipotles, and then one day you're going to die. And your body is going to be buried and put into a grave or an urn or somewhere. And your soul will immediately go to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior and repented. When Jesus Christ described hell, and one time he talked about the rich man who went to hell, that was not a parable. That's a true account of the rich man who went to hell. Many believe that out of respect for the rich man, Jesus Christ did not give his name, but he gave Abraham's name and Lazarus' name. But tradition has it that his name was Mr. Dives. And he's still in hell today. And the Bible says, as soon as he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, in torments. Jesus Christ, describing hell in another place, he said, "It is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." You say, "Preacher, I don't appreciate the fact you're trying to scare me to getting saved. Where am I going to scare you to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three?" I'm just stating biblical facts, what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, preacher, apostle, or writer in the Bible combined. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ created hell for the devil and his angels. He did not create hell for us. But if we choose to reject him as Savior and live like the devil and act like the devil, then people who do that will go to hell with the devil. That's how that works. He said one time that hell, when he was describing hell, it is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a very real place. Thirdly, he says, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in chapter 18, verse 8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into hell, into everlasting fire. That's how earnest Jesus Christ was about this matter called hell. It's better for you to cut, if your hand is leading you to sin, to touch somebody you're not married to, your foot is leading you to a sinful club, it will be better for you to cut your foot off and cut your hand off and get saved and go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ than to go to hell with both feet and two hands. So hell is a very real place. These are the words of Jesus, if you're wondering now. You've got to believe what Jesus said. Or you should believe what Jesus said. So hell is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to this awful place called hell. Because the same Jesus Christ, yes, the hell, fire, and brimstone preacher Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than most preachers today combined, said these, the greatest words known to mankind, the greatest words ever said, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do, dear friend, is just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just do what Jesus told you to do. For God so loved the world, that means that God loves you. If you're in this world, I'm here to tell you now, listen to me very carefully, God is all about the love. Contrary to what you might think, God loves you no matter what you have done, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you did, no matter who you did it with. God loves you. If you're living on this earth right now, God loves you. You might be a pimp, you might be a prostitute, you might be a whoremonger, you might be a whore, you might be a drunkard, you might be proud and stubborn, you might be a liar and a cheat. God loves you. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave, that means he gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus Christ who never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. You cannot say that about yourself. This is the Jesus Christ whose first miracle was to turn water into the best, most wonderful wine ever tasted. Jesus Christ who fed thousands with a little boy's lunch and had leftovers. This is the Jesus Christ who went around doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb. Jesus Christ who walked on the water because he made the water. Who, when they got into a storm, he told the wind to be quiet and the sea, the roaring sea, to sit down and become placid by just simply saying, peace, be still. Why? Because he made the ocean. He made the lake. He made the howling wind. This is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth out of the grave. This man named Jesus did all of that and raised folks from the dead too. If I were you, I would get to know him. I would believe in him. I would trust him as my Savior. And I have done so. I did it some over 40 years ago. And it's your turn now. God wants you to get saved today. Like Brian did about a day and a half ago. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said that whosoever believeth in him, he was talking about himself, the Son of God, should not perish but have everlasting life. It's very simple. There's nothing hard about it. It's very easy for us. It was not easy for God. It was not easy for Jesus. So put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul and to change your life, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever is there again. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This simply means that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to have that desire to call on him and seal the deal and pray and ask him to save you. You're not going to have a problem confessing him as your Savior. So let's do that now. You believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, like Jesus told you to do. He didn't say anything about church membership, that you have to be in a church to get saved, or that you have to get baptized by a certain church or anybody to get saved, or you have to speak in some unknown tongue to get saved, or that you have to give money to the church to get saved. You don't have to do any of that to get saved. To get saved, you need to do what Jesus told you to do, and that is believe on him. And then call on his name and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will do it. Please follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. And believe it in your heart. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have indeed broken those 10 commandments. I have done evil in your sight. And I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins, past and present. And help me to turn from my evil life, Lord Jesus, and to follow you in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. So, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, that is the gospel, was buried and rose on the third day, that is the gospel indeed. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email that to us. Let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know all about it so that we can rejoice in you, and also so that we can send you some free material that will help you to grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.